What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show, and happy hump day to all of you on this Wednesday, October 26th. We're counting down the days here in October, and then we're going to flip it to November. We got the clocks changing. Yeah, that's still happening. We're changing clocks twice a year, but I think that may be ending sometime soon. Then we're going to have the countdown to Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, all the holidays. And then before you know it, we'll be in 2023. It's never quiet in South Florida. We should all know that by now. And I should have known better. Heading into yesterday's show, I thought, all right, it's a Tuesday, kind of a quiet news day. Let me go ahead and recap the Dolphins Steelers a little bit more. Let me bring on Luke and go off on the University of Miami, which he did a pretty good job of. The Dolphins game had already happened 2 days ago. The Canes game happened 3 days ago. This was on yesterday's show. And the Dolphins players, they were off on Monday and also yesterday, Tuesday. So I'm like, all right, I'll just recap the Dolphins again. I'll recap the Canes a little bit more because they stink. There's no baseball games until Friday. The Miami Heat, they don't play until late tonight. So I thought maybe we would have a nice, quiet little Tuesday. And I'm not just talking about while I'm on the air. I'm talking about in general, where I don't have to go on my phone all the time and check Twitter nonstop and write to people. But it's South Florida, and there's no such thing as a quiet little Tuesday. Quiet days don't really exist. They're hard to find. So, of course, on the day that nothing is really happening, at least of significance, well, the Miami Marlins, they go out and they make a splash hire. And the Marlins hire a brand new manager, first time managing in the big leagues, Skip Schumacher. And the Marlins getting Skip to be their skipper, that's going to dominate the news cycle for just, what, 2-3 days maybe? 3 days max? Because it can't really go much more than that. And when I say 3 days, I'm probably being very generous in saying 3 days. Some of you might say 3 hours. Because remember, the Miami Marlins just finished a season where they had 68 wins. They couldn't even get to a nice 69. They got to 68. And then they just hire a guy, Skip Schumacher, who has experience in the big leagues as a player. And he's been in the dugout as a coach a bit, but not as a manager. But he's a hire. So at least it's news. It's something to discuss. When I saw Kim Ng at Joe Stonecrab last week, she was sitting right next to me by coincidence, I think. I spoke to her as she was leaving. I didn't want to bother her when she was eating the stone crabs. And I asked Kim Ng. First, I actually said to Kim Ng, it wasn't a question, it was a statement. I said, I was hoping you were here with the next manager or a managerial candidate. And she just laughed and said, come on, you think I would bring out the managerial candidate or the next manager in public? Which is true, but you never know. She was with a woman, so there was not a woman named manager of the Marlins, so I can confirm that Kim Ng was telling the truth. She was not with a Marlins managerial candidate. But she did tell me when I asked her, I said, when are we going to find out the new manager? And she said, sooner than you think. And then yesterday, my buddy Craig Mish, who covers the Marlins, and that must be very painful for him. I mean, imagine that. I'm here doing the show this afternoon in Medellin, and Craig Mish is covering the Marlins on a day-to-day basis. Which one would you rather have? If you chose covering the Marlins, that just means you've never been to Medellin or seen any of my pictures or videos on Instagram. That's all that means. But Craig Mish did a great job breaking the news, and now the Miami Marlins have a new manager. What is that going to do? If you are a Marlins fan, what are you thinking right now? Let me tell you what I am thinking. I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking about a lot of things South Florida sports related, but I can't tell you any of it until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
So Skip Schumacher is the man. A manager named Skip. That works. It's fine. Skip is 42 years old, so he's a younger guy. He's just out of his playing days not that long ago. He had some experience coaching-wise with the Padres, and then he was the bench coach most recently with the St. Louis Cardinals. I listened to him a bit about what his experience was like as a bench coach, and what he said was he had to prepare every single day as if the manager was going to get ejected in the first inning. So he had to be ready to step in and manage every single game. You could chalk that up as good experience. And he does come from a quality organization. If this show was being broadcast right now in Toronto, I would have said he comes from a quality organization. But this show is mainly for South Florida, so he comes from a quality organization. The St. Louis Cardinals, they're held up as one of the standards in baseball. They're also a gold standard of team. Plus, they practice in Jupiter, where the Marlins share the facility there with St. Louis. So at least Skip will be familiar with the facility. Here's the thing. It's hard to have a take on Skip Schumacher for a few reasons. I don't know if you were expecting me to come on here and just say this is a brilliant hire or this is a miserable hire. Let me tell you why it's hard to have a take on this. So, number one, he's a first-time manager. He's a 42-year-old dude who has never done it before. So how can I say either way if he's going to be good at it or not? I don't know how it's going to go. And you might be thinking, Slater, I remember when the Miami Dolphins hired Mike McDaniel. You said he seems like a genius when he speaks. I did say that. But I also said, this could either turn out to be a fantastic hire by the team, or B, a complete disaster. I said, I do not believe this is going to be anywhere between the disaster and a fantastic hire. No middle ground for that Mike McDaniel hire. So I didn't know what Mike McDaniel would do. I don't know what Skip Schumacher is going to do. I don't know if he's going to be good at managing. He's a baseball lifer. He's worked his way up to being a pro. He's one of the young guys who was inevitable to be a big league manager. The biggest issue for Skip is the team he's taking over. They're bad. Like, they're really bad. It wasn't a lack of managing that had the Marlins bad this year. It's the fact that they had a horrendous lineup, and that's what he gets. Can they make moves in the offseason? Of course they can, but do you see that happening for big money? When Mattingly was the manager, he couldn't hit some magic button. He didn't have that there that would make the average players hit or to make the free agents who stunk play any better. So if the Marlins don't seriously upgrade their lineup, and spoiler alert, they won't, Skip is not going to be given the opportunity to have success early on. Whether it has to do with him being a good manager or not, I will never know. And that is because of that lineup. The lineup is just putrid. That lineup is not his fault. I kept hearing about this interview process and how many guys the Marlins brought in. It was like 10 or more. That's not the world's most confidence-inducing situation, is it? If they interviewed Skip Schumacher and then they thought, we love him, he's perfect, let's talk to 10 other people just to be sure, I would say that's not the world's best sign. That's just the way I gauge it. But getting a first-time manager, a young guy who is likely happy to be in the room, happy to have the opportunity, I think the implication is that you can get Skip Schumacher or any first-time manager that's young, I think you can get him on the cheap. Compared to a more experienced guy, somebody with a bigger managerial name, you're going to be able to get him cheaper. And I'm sure that's what the Marlins did. It's like, hey, okay, Skip wants to be a manager. Here's your opportunity. Even though I'm sure he'll be ranked in the bottom 10 for managerial salary, he takes the opportunity and runs with it. But if the Marlins keep this same lineup or barely improve it, what is he going to be able to do? So in this case, the hire is news. Don Mattingly moving on is also news. But reality is, I just don't think the ball club is good enough for a manager to have an impact one way or the other. He's not going to be some genius who suddenly turns Brian Anderson into Aaron Judge. And he's also not going to be so bad where suddenly the Marlins drop from 68 wins to 12. It's just not something that will happen here in Major League Baseball with a managing job. Given the state of the franchise, what could be expected of him? He'll be fine. The Marlins, they're the fourth best team in the division. And that's being kind of generous. They still have an ace, Sandy Alcantara. They have a good number two, Pablo Lopez. They have Jazz Chisholm. What else? I know Marlins diehards are going to throw stuff at me like Lizardo and J.J. Bleda and Encarnacion. But really, Skip Schumacher inherits two pitchers and a position player. That's about it. The rest, to call it a work in progress, would also be generous. So this is all on Kim Ng right now. Doesn't matter who the manager is. This is Kim Ng's mess. Derek Jeter is gone. You can't blame him. Don Mattingly is gone. You can't blame him. Gary Denbo is gone. You can't blame him. All that's left is Kim Ng. Kim Ng is the person who will answer to Bruce Sherman about the state of the Marlins. So if the Marlins fall on their face again, and I would call 68 victories falling on your face, Kim Ng's going to be the one responsible for it. Skip Schumacher is her guy, and this is her roster to build or rebuild or whatever construction term you want to use for it. That's what the Marlins have going on. And I wonder how much Bruce Sherman cares. And I think it's fair to wonder that. Is it fair to say how much does Bruce Sherman want to win? Because Bruce Sherman may be one of those guys who just wants to own a ball club, and at some point he'll sell it, and he hopes to make some money off of his billion-dollar investment. He says his priority is to win. What do you think an owner is going to say? Oh, yeah, I'm just here to make money in the long term to sell this franchise. What do you expect owners to say? They want to win. They're in this to win. They want to build a winner. The key word to me, though, that you always hear with Bruce Sherman, and anytime you hear this word, this is never good. The word sustain or sustainable. Anytime you hear sustainable, that's not a good sign. I know Bruce Sherman said it many times, and I believe Jeter said it many times, and Kim Ng will probably say it many times. We want to build a sustainable organization. that is just telling the fans, hey, we know we stink right now, but we're letting you know that in the future there's going to be good things going on here. And then 3 years later, it doesn't happen. But yeah, we're still, you know, it's all about building a sustainable organization, not just to win right now. Please. Anytime you hear that word, it is never good. When it comes to baseball in Miami, a lot of people say, oh, this market can't sustain baseball. I hear that all the time. It's the market, it's the ballpark, there's not enough fans. Look, all of that is BS. It all comes down to the ownership group and how important winning is. Do they want to invest in the ball club and make it good, or do they just want to exist? Because so far, as much as South Florida crushed Jeffrey Loria and David Sampson, okay, those two ran the Marlins and they were crushed. Are you telling me Bruce Sherman hasn't been just as bad? He's less public. He's less outspoken. But has Bruce Sherman done anything to make this Marlins team a winner? Has he done anything to make them better? It's been several years now. The excuses of blame the previous regime, blame the TV contract, blame the sun in our eyes, whatever it is, it just doesn't work. The ownership group is firmly entrenched. The GM is in command. There's a new manager now, and the ball club stinks. So do they want to change it or not? Isn't that the question? I don't think this managerial hire sways the vote either way. Skip Schumacher's a dude. I mean, he's a generic guy. He'll grow to be a good manager, possibly. I don't know. Maybe he won't. This is sort of like training wheels for him here to eventually go and get a bigger job if he's any good. I don't even know how you could tell if he's any good. When you send out that lineup card, how is a manager supposed to be good? If you're sensing right now, because I get these tweets a lot, Andy, you're hating on the Marlins. You hate them. I do not hate them. I'm just down on the organization. If you think that I'm down on them, you're right. I don't hate them. I want them to win. I want all of our teams to win. But look, the Phillies are in the World Series. The Mets are in an arms race with the Yankees and willing to spend just like them. The Braves won a World Series last year and were a playoff team again this year. And what did the Marlins do? The Marlins spent all their money on Garcia and Soler, and both of them had dreadful seasons. So why should I have any confidence that the Marlins are going to get it right? Why should I have any confidence that the Marlins and Bruce Sherman are going to start spending all this money on free agents? You want to be a serious player? Get in the mix for Aaron Judge. They're not going to do that. You're laughing hysterically right now. They're not going to spend that money. I mean, not that just Aaron Judge would fix them, but I'm just saying as an example, they'll never be players. You won't hear them as the surprise team. Come on. You hear the Dodgers, which would be unbelievable. You hear the Yankees, of course. You hear the Mets. These are big-time baseball teams that are willing to spend money to be good. You don't hear the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets front office coming out saying, we want to build a sustainable organization. You don't hear that. This gets me fired up. And I'm sure you could tell. When I think back to Don Mattingly's time with the Marlins and I really evaluate it, I ask myself the following question. Did Don Mattingly do anything that made me think either way about him as a manager? Just as a manager. I think everybody could tell just from being around him, talking to him, hearing him, he was a good dude, a good person. He was kind, thoughtful, lots of positive with Don Mattingly. But from a baseball perspective, I know he won Manager of the Year during the pandemic. But were the Marlins ever in a big enough spot to where we could even evaluate how good Mattingly was? Because his rosters were never good enough. In L.A., sure. He was in the postseason. You could say, how did he manage Kershaw? How did he use his bullpen? Inside baseball stuff. The Marlins are simply bad. So Mattingly didn't do a bad job. Mattingly didn't do a good job. He was just given really bad teams. And he just dealt with them. This isn't a job that's high leverage and requires a lot of critical decisions. It's just sort of meh. So to tell you that Skip Schumacher is going to make a difference or is in a positive way or is going to make a difference in a negative way, I can't do that. I don't see how that would happen. The only difference is going to be if the Marlins get bats. If they don't get bats, we are going to get the same results that we just saw. I hope they get bats. I hope Bruce Sherman comes out with tons of money. He says he's got money and going to spend it. I don't know where he's spending it, but it's certainly not on the Marlins. All right, let me get to a different organization. That would be the Miami Dolphins, because they have a winning record. And you look at their schedule, I could look ahead. The Dolphins could be 8-3. Again, I could look ahead. They were 3-3. Now they're 4-3. They got the Detroit Lions coming up. So it's Lions week. The Dolphins will be traveling to Detroit. I've been to Detroit. I went there once for the World Series, actually. I went to the Greektown Casino. Imagine that. I go to a city and I find the casino. What are the Dolphins going to do in Detroit? How do you prepare for the Detroit Lions? I want to talk about Lions Week, and I will in just a moment. Let me tell you how you can prepare to win some money. Head on over to Gulfstream Park or download the First Bet app, the official wagering app of Gulfstream Park. You could wager 10 or 20 cents and make thousands of dollars. I see it happen all of the time. Gulfstream Park has live racing going on right now during their Sunshine Meet Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I highly suggest you head on out to Gulfstream Park during a live race day. When I go to Gulfstream Park on a live race day, I go to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms. I get a table. I have a great meal. I make my wagers. I watch the races live right in front of me. It's an awesome time. And if you want to stay home, no problem. Download the First Bet app on your phone and you could wager right from there. It's the Sunshine Meet happening right now with live racing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in our own backyard at Gulfstream Park. My 13th annual football pick'em challenge going on right now on my site, SlaterScoops.com. If you have the most winners for the week, you're going to get a $100 gift card to Joe's Stone Crab in Miami Beach. And I've been to Joe's twice so far this season. Those stone crabs have been so good. Oh my gosh. I dip them in the drawn butter. They're delicious. So you can get yourself a $100 gift card to go eat at Joe's Stone Crab by playing in my 13th annual football pick'em challenge. And whoever has the most winners at the end of the season, they will fly away with a guest to Costa Rica, all thanks to the Costa Rica dental team. Don't wait any longer. Every single week counts. Every game counts. Head on over to my site, SlaterScoops.com, and be part of my 13th annual football pick'em challenge. The Miami Dolphins have the Detroit Lions this week. If you take a look at the Dolphins' schedule, it is getting to the soft part. The Dolphins on Sunday in Detroit are only about a 3-point favorite. I was reading some of the predictions earlier today when I was getting ready for the show. I like seeing people's predictions. I don't look at them a lot, but I like seeing local people's predictions. So like the Sun Sentinel put them out. They sent out a tweet. And I just quickly scrolled through it just to see if any of them picked Detroit. None of them picked Detroit, but some of them did pick a very close game, like a one-point game. How could the Dolphins only beat Detroit by one? Again, going back to what I was saying yesterday, a win is a win, so it doesn't matter. They win by one, they win by 20. A win's a win. But think about what the Dolphins are coming from and going to. They are coming from a home game, Sunday night football, with the whole country watching, to Sunday, 1 p.m. in Detroit against the lousy Lions. It's absolutely going to be a letdown for Miami, but they still got to win. You had all of this hype going into a Sunday night football game, and now you're just going, yeah, 1 p.m. Sunday in Detroit. So the energy level, I know a football player's energy level is always high. You're always getting revved up for that game. There's only 17 of them. But when you go from Sunday night to Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m. in Detroit, it's completely different. The Dolphins' secondary probably won't be much different than what we saw, at least for the majority of the game last week. And it's a concern. It's got to be a concern. Xavien Howard is good, and he played really well Sunday, but they're relying on some guys who are truly backups, and now you add Brandon Jones to the list, another member of the Dolphins' secondary out, and Brandon Jones is the safety who's their best blitzer. Byron Jones, he's still not back, and we're getting near the halfway point of the season. The dude hasn't played a snap yet. He may not play the whole year. Noah Igbinoghene, he was really bad for the majority of the game against Pittsburgh, but he did make that last play, and he got himself on the elevator. Javon Holland, he's a stud. Nick Needham, he's out for the year. So there's so many guys that are out. That means the pressure on the ones who are playing, it's monstrous. Xavien and Javon, there's a lot of pressure on them. There's no margin for error. The thing about Detroit, as bad as their defense is, and it's pretty bad, they're still a team that could put up a bunch of points. So I would envision Sunday's game will be high scoring. Miami could absolutely blow them out. But it's not like after that first drive, I saw really a whole lot from the Dolphins' offense to say, yeah, they're going to blow them out. Every game plan is different. Maybe the Dolphins' game plan against the Steelers was okay. We don't have to do a whole lot. They got Kenny Pickett. He's not going to put up a lot of points. Detroit, Jared Goff. Not saying Jared Goff is great, but he likes to sling the ball, and Detroit can put up some numbers. I just feel going into this game, the Dolphins need more explosive plays. And not just for this game, but for the rest of the season. I know Tua wants to get the ball out quickly. I think it suits his longevity as a player, and it makes up for that bad offensive line. But the Dolphins need some big explosive plays from Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I'm thinking back to the end of that Ravens game. It's not like I'm imagining something here, because this is something that we saw they're capable of. We've seen them do it. This is an offense that can hit it big. They can go deep. And I feel like that's how they will separate themselves from the Lions on Sunday. Get a few long touchdowns, do it early, and that'll break them. It's funny, the Lions were on Hard Knocks this year, and usually when you watch Hard Knocks, because of the editing and all the access they're given, they make every team look like the 72 Dolphins. You leave Hard Knocks and think, man, this team is going to be something. Look out. This year, what I saw on Hard Knocks was a fun coach, and I think Dolphins fans are all familiar with Dan Campbell from his time in Miami. Dan Campbell is big. He's tough. He's demanding. But he's also a good dude. Anyhow, still watching Hard Knocks, it was clear that even with all the best HBO editing and the music and the amazing narrator, despite all of that, it was still the Detroit Lions. And the Lions are just not good. And it turned out, yeah, the Lions are not very good. But you can't take them for granted. I know a lot of people probably won't say that, but it is the truth. If the Dolphins are disappointed by the environment, moving to a smaller stage and playing a lesser opponent, remember what Dan Campbell said. His guys are going to bust people's kneecaps. Remember that soundbite? I mean, it was very weird. Dan Campbell is a strange dude, and you just never know what's going to happen in that game. You talk about contrast with coaches. Mike McDaniel, he takes the podium, and I saw him again on it today. He always looks like a blogger or a YouTuber. Not necessarily an NFL head coach. You put him next to Dan Campbell, that handshake at the end of the game, I'm worried for Mike McDaniel's hand. That grip that Dan Campbell might put on him, the contrast between those two, a guy who looks like he could still play and a guy who looks like maybe he would be the water boy or something. It's quite a stark difference. Who's the better coach? You go back to what they're working with too. And the Miami Dolphins are working with a whole lot more. And the way Mike McDaniel seems, he seems like a genius. But of course, he looks like a genius. He looks like a very brilliant individual. The glasses, the way people portray him doesn't necessarily mean that's the way he's going to be, but I think he fits the role very well. And Dan Campbell, the mean guy. We've seen it in Miami. You know, he fits that role of we're going to go after you. So sometimes you take on your own characteristics and other times you don't. If you really want to talk about how somebody looks, head on over to Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, where you'll be surrounded by gorgeous girls, 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 girls. And what makes Dean's Gold the ultimate gentleman's club is that they have gorgeous ladies who come from all over the world. So many different countries are represented at Dean's Gold. You will have the night or even early morning of your life. Dean's Gold is open every single day from 8 p.m. all the way until 6 a.m. Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, is located on the northeast corner of Northeast 163rd Street and Biscayne Boulevard. That's in North Miami Beach. Go have yourself a great Wednesday night or even early Thursday morning. Surround yourself with beautiful women who come from all over the world. There's only one building in South Florida you could do that. The name of it, the Ultimate Gentleman's Club, Dean's Gold. If you're a Heat fan, you better have a bunch of Mountain Dews, not diet, or drink some coffee. Have it ready because you're going to be up late tonight. If you want to see the Heat take on the Blazers, it's a very late start. Portland's been really good early in the season, and the Miami Heat, they have not. And when I say it's a really late start, it's just a late start on the East Coast. It's not a late start in Portland. But the Heat, they start their season 1-3, and all those games were at home. A 1-3 homestand, probably not the way the Heat imagined starting their year. Now they get three games out west, including the defending NBA champions. This is a rough way to begin the season, but there's no excuses. The Miami Heat need to play better. They should probably put the ball in Jimmy Butler's hands in the fourth quarter. That's one strategy point that they may want to tweak. So far, this Heat defense has not been very good. The guys who were supposed to take big individual leaps, I haven't seen that happen yet. It hasn't been a good first week for the Heat, but it's the first week. That means we're very, very, very early in the season, and a lot can still happen. So hopefully tonight it starts to happen, but it ain't going to be easy against Portland. So I'll be watching that game tonight. I mean, what else is there to watch? We don't even have the World Series happening yet. World Series actually doesn't start until Friday. Both the championship series ended on Sunday. I mean, how long does this take? Baseball tonight would have been great. Get a day or two off, for travel, work out. But 5 days before starting the World Series, people outside of Houston and Philly, they may forget baseball exists. From a sports fan perspective, 5 days, that's like a lifetime. If you're a Houston or Philly fan, okay, no big deal. You got it. But baseball started late this season. Remember that. So there was a lot of schedule changes, and this is just the way it works out. The Yankees are done. The Marlins, they were done a long time ago. I'll watch some of the World Series, but it's not like I'm rooting for Houston or Philadelphia. But I'm watching the Heat tonight, and I'll be rooting for them. Just like I watched the Panthers last night. Thought they were going to come back there, but in the end, they didn't. They take a 4-2 loss to Chicago. Here's a loss that I don't want you guys to take. A loss with your bank account. Losing a lot of money if you need dental work. The Costa Rica dental team, they're not going to do that to you. You will save a fortune by visiting the Costa Rica dental team. 50 to 70% you will save compared to U.S. dental prices. Maybe you need crowns, implants, veneers, whatever dental work you need done, the Costa Rica dental team, they are going to save you so much money and take great care of you. And I know that firsthand because I have been to the Costa Rica dental team many times myself. Check them out. Visit their site, CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. That's CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. Inquire about their pricing, and then you could start planning your Costa Rica dental vacation later today. Every Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol joins us here on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, another week, another shooting on the highway. I saw this had something to do with a motorcycle on I-95. What are the details? What happened? What can you tell us?
Yeah, Andy, this unfortunately occurred Sunday night. It was on I-95 in the area of 69th Street in Miami. The preliminary information was a motorcyclist was shot while driving down I-95 several times, was transported to the trauma center, local trauma center, where he later passed. The investigation was actually as now being turned over to Miami Police Department, and they've actually released a video of a person of interest that was operating a like a white and orange KTM dirt bike. That's the believed suspect, the believed shooter. And if anybody has any information on this individual, they need to please contact Crime Stoppers or the Miami Police Department directly, or even Star FHP, and we'll get them to the right person. But, this is a homicide investigation. This is as serious as it gets when we talk about crimes. And, you know, happening on the roadway is a major concern for everyone. So, again, if anybody has information on that, it's on FHP Miami's Twitter. The video of the individual on the dirt bike, it's on Miami Police's Twitter. So, we would any information on that would be helpful.
I know the investigation's going on right now, but from what it sounds like, I mean, not everything has to be road rage, right? I mean, it could be a targeted shooting as well. We have those.
Yeah, it's normally it's either a road rage incident, Andy, that escalates. And that's why we always, you know, advise motorists not to confront aggressive behavior or aggressive drivers. Just create distance and separate yourself from any road rage incidents. But because they can just escalate so quickly and turn into something like this. So either that or they could be targeted. A lot of times they're targeted and they just that occurred somewhere else, built onto the roadway. And that's where the incident occurred. Very, very, very rarely are they just random shootings.
Lieutenant, I bring this up probably once every few months, but I think it's very important because a lot of people hear this conversation and they're like, wait a minute. I mean, all these people have guns in their cars, but in Florida, you're allowed to have a gun in your vehicle, or if you're riding a motorcycle, you can have it on you. How does that work?
Yeah, it's lawful in Florida to possess a firearm within the interior of a vehicle or a private, conveyance. without a license. But the key phrase here is that that firearm has to be securely encased or pretty much otherwise just not readily accessible for immediate use. Right. So it has to be like in a holster. It has to be in your securely encased in your glove compartment, in your center console. Right. So this person, if the shooter is in fact the individual seen in the video on the dirt bike, then that means that firearm was more than likely on his person, which would then mean he has to have a concealed firearm license. So that's something else to look into, if this is in fact the shooter.
Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol with us here on the Andy Slater Show, as he is every Wednesday. We're 5 days away, Lieutenant, from Halloween. Are there any rules on the road during Halloween? Like, you can't wear a mask, you can't wear your costume. What are the rules, if any?
Yeah, you bring up a very good point. It's a reminder, it's illegal to drive with a mask on. The law states that anybody trying to conceal their identity shall not enter upon a roadway. I mean, for several reasons, it obscures the entirety of your peripheral vision. It reduces the amount of light your eyes use to see. And, you know, from a law enforcement perspective, it could just seem like a person is attempting to evade their identification. So between the dangers and potential criminal liability, it's best just, you know, not to wear a mask while driving. And some just general safety, Halloween safety tips, right, is to just pay attention out there. You slow down. There's going to be, you know, these children that are out maybe walking around trick-or-treating. Their ability to see might be, reduced or hear approaching cars. They, you know, preventing them from getting out of the roadway quickly. So just watch for children walking in the street, especially if there's no sidewalks. You know, entering and exit driveways, you know, slowly, always check behind you. You know, the basic things. And for parents out there and, you know, taking their children, you know, be seen, carry a flashlight, wear some maybe reflective, bright clothing, you know, really any tape on your costumes, on your goodie bags that might be reflective. Use these sidewalks when possible. And if not possible sidewalks, then just walk facing traffic as close to the curb as possible.
I got 15 seconds left. Last question about Halloween. You cannot get like a trooper outfit, right? You can't dress up as a Florida Highway Patrol trooper?
I think you could. You could wear the brown with the hat. I just don't think you can, you know, use the patch that says Highway Patrol or the, you know, the state trooper stuff. But you can wear a pretty similar outfit with the hat and all that. It'll look pretty good.
Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol, thanks for everything you do. Stay safe, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, that's all the time I have for this Wednesday afternoon. I hope all of you enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.